Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Heather McLeod of Authority Brands. And today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Northeast Color, and Franchise Payments Network. A new feature here on Social Geek is a weekly franchise economic update. Tom Epstein of Franchise Payments Network shares that same-store franchisee sales in July were up 4% over the previous month. And get this, up 6.5% over July of 2019. Tom says franchises as a whole continue to do well. They see new franchise sales picking up as well, as they're seeing more new accounts opening than those who may close. And if you're looking for something buzzworthy to reward your customers and your business with, Pollinate is an all-inclusive loyalty and gift card technology company focused on the franchise space. Powered by Franchise Payments Network, they will work with your team to help create a rewards program that engages your customers, boosts sales, and frequency. With Pollinate, franchise systems enjoy a 17% lift and 50% increase in customer visits for those enrolled in the program. With Pollinate, everybody will earn, redeem, enjoy, and repeat. To learn more, check out Pollinate at pollinate.com/marketing. The comeback of a lifetime continues. It is Franchise Friday, so we're talking to franchise experts, marketing experts, and today we have someone who fills the bill on both sides of the fence. It's Heather McLeod, Chief Marketing Officer at Authority Brands. Hey, Heather, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It feels like it's been anywhere between 6 months and 6 years since I've seen you last at a franchise event. We're not really sure what the calendar looks like.
This is probably the longest stint my suitcase has been in my closet, so...
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm kind of missing airline food and airport bars and all of that stuff that I used to complain about. So
funny how that works.
It sure is. It sure is. So before we get into our topic of the day, which is online reputation and everything else that's happening at an accelerated rate here in 2020, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So like a lot of people, I think in franchising, I kind of fell into franchising right after grad school. I was living in Waco, Texas. And for those of us that have been in franchising for a while, that is the home of, at the time, the Dwyer Group, now Neighborly. And so I started there, focused on home services, really got to know franchising just in general. I kind of didn't really know what I was getting into. It's interesting how it kind of goes from, oh, this sounds like a great job, to, okay, I've built a career here. So that's nice.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, when they're talking to their college placement advisors, said, you know, let's look into franchising. I don't think I've ever heard that in doing this show for 10 years. From there, you moved over to...
I left there in 2015 and came to Maryland from Texas and started with the Cleaning Authority, which was the original kind of cornerstone brand of Authority Brands. And I came kind of under the promise to a certain point that we were going to turn the Cleaning Authority into a platform in a similar way that supported multiple brands. And so I've been here for 5.5 years now, and we've gone from one brand to now 7 brands, all home service focused. So I also didn't think I'd be making a career out of marketing and plumbing and HVAC, but again, you know, sometimes you fall into things. But so now we're a 7-brand system, and we're still expanding. So several more, I'm sure, to come over the next year or two.
You know, you might not have thought that HVAC or plumbing or things like that would be the career, but I always find it fascinating with these groups that have multiple brands and how you market not just plumbing, but how that works with all of the other home services that you have. And I think there's something exciting about working with multiple brands at the same time, it's probably never boring, at least, right?
No, it's never boring. And thankfully, you know, they're not, when you compare home services to other, you know, other franchises, they're maybe not as sexy on paper, but COVID has proven that they do have some staying power. So that's good. So it's good to be, you know, working in businesses that continue to have demand, despite market conditions. You know, people don't know how to fix certain things in their homes, so there's always going to be demand for plumbers, for HVAC technicians. And, you know, someone told me a long time ago, a boss told me a long time ago, that you can always make money doing things that other people don't know how to do or don't want to do. And that's kind of where we fall to a certain point.
Yeah. And I have to say, and I'm not going to start on my knock against millennials or Generation Z or whatever comes next, but I'm guessing the future looks pretty bright for a generation of people who really don't want to turn a wrench.
Yeah, I think the problem that our industries are going to have is employment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's such a great career path for people to get into the trades. And, you know, it seems to be very, very difficult to get that story to be told in a way that really motivates, you know, younger people to actually consider that. So I think what's going to get interesting is, you know, we're going to have a severe shortage of tradespeople.
Do you see a lot of marketing dollars going that direction now and probably more in the future just to find the team that can do the job?
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting, you know, a lot of schools don't have in high schools, you know, they don't have shop and they don't have some of those classes the way that they used to. And I think that probably is the number one biggest driver of what we're experiencing now. So it's tough to get, it's even if you get in front of that audience, right, it's tough to get kids in a lot of ways to think about some of these things when they're in that decision-making phase. So I think it's kind of a little bit of an unsolved problem yet, to be honest. We've tried different things in our space. You know, I know other people in similar verticals to us have tried as well. And I don't think anybody has found the silver bullet yet, but I'm optimistic that hopefully that people will start to realize that, you know, it doesn't always have to be college in the traditional way to build a great life for you and your family.
Right. Not everybody needs to learn how to code. We've got plenty of people learning that right now, I think so.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you specifically about online reputation. Yeah. It feels like, especially here in lockdown of 2020, when all we're doing is looking at a screen, online reputation is probably more important now for a small business than ever. So let's start there. And what do you find to be the most important thing about managing your online reputation as a franchisee, small business owner?
Yeah, I mean, I think there really are a couple things. I think the most obvious reason why reputation is so important online is because of what I kind of call the conversion factor. But basically, you know, gone are the days where someone, you know, gets a piece of direct mail and calls the phone number on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So people are taking every other interaction or everything they're seeing about a brand, and then they're going online to either look up a phone number, to go to a website, to do a little more reading and research. And so, you know, once you hit that Google search page and you see, you know, here are all the businesses near me that perform this service, you know, even though it might have been company A who sent you something about, you know, getting your house cleaned, if you go online and company A has 2 stars and company B has 5, then, you know, too bad on the marketing dollars spent to get that person online, because they're not going to convert. So, you know, I think it's, in a lot of ways, online reviews are kind of the new lift medium, right? Like, it used to be that television, right? You turn on TV advertising and all your other marketing channels would be improved from it. Mm. And online reputation and reviews are kind of that same thing, right? If you've got really strong reviews online, then, you know, all your other marketing will perform better because, you know, people are going to be clicking through to the site. They'll be more likely to convert. But if they're poor, then it's almost a sink mechanism, right? Like you're going to bounce people to your competitors or you're going to really turn them off, even though you might have invested a ton of money to get them there in the first place.
So the game feels like it's how do I get my competitors to spend a lot of money on marketing that end up coming my way? How do we do that?
Right. Well, I mean, if in this kind of environment, right, where you're talking about maybe some people having limited marketing budgets compared to what they did before, reviews are very easy, I'll say, because they're not expensive, but they're not easy to always get, but they're a really critical foundational place to start, because anything else that you're spending really is wasted if there's not a critical mass of reviews and a strong score, specifically as it relates to Google. Of course, other sites are important as well, but I think at this point everybody knows that Google is the dominant site when it comes to almost everything, including reputation.
Is that really where we start? Tell me more about that. You've got to have your Google house in order before you worry about other things. Is that still true?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the place people go to search. It has been for a while and still continues to be. And now that Google is offering different kinds of advertising that you can buy based on your review score, I think it's going to become even more and more critical. So it's really apparent in home services. It might not be the case for people in other industries, but Google basically has shifted in our spaces away from a pay-per-click model into a what they call a local service ad. So it's an ad unit that you pay based on a lead. So it's a pay-per-lead ad source within Google. But in order to even buy those ads, you have to have a critical mass of reviews and you have to have over a certain star rating. So they really are trying to put a huge emphasis on delivering search results of the best caliber businesses in any market. So it's even more critical today than it was before, especially for people who are making a significant investment in digital advertising.
So for that local service ad, is this a situation where the consumer's not even going to the brand's website or the local business's website? They're actually seeing that ad and then taking some action right from the search engine results page?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the epitome of Google trying to provide the answer versus trying to give you options to pick your own answer. So exactly that. It's a little box on the top that says, this is a Google verified business. The full interaction happens within a Google interface. The person never goes to the brand website. It's all happening in that environment. So it's interesting to see how over time Google has kind of gotten out of the business of, you know, here's 10 businesses that we think fit the bill of what you're looking for, to actually saying, here are three businesses that we will stand behind and say are the businesses to work with in your market.
So for home services, it's in the past few years, it's turned into what Google's done with airlines and then pizza, right? Where you don't actually ever have to go to the United or Delta website to buy a ticket.
Exactly. And too, you see, they do it sometimes with search, right? When you ask a question, they used to just, you know, deliver the pages that had the answers. And now you'll see like Google pulls out pieces of content to say like, oh, you have a, you know, how do you tie a tie? Here's how you do it with a video that they've pulled out of someone's website that they can play just directly from that Google search page.
And I'm guessing here, but getting back to your online reputation, if you've got terrible reviews, you're never going to be that preferred Google answer.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's really them saying like, we're only going to put people up here who the masses have said do good work. So you're really at a huge disadvantage if you don't have a great Google reputation specifically, because number one, you can't buy those ad units, but also we're seeing that that type of advertising, LSAs, are performing fantastically in terms of what acquisition costs are and return on investment. So they're actually really, it's a valuable playground to be able to play in. And so if you don't have, you know, the reviews to even help you get there, you can't have a seat at that table. You're missing a huge opportunity.
And I'm assuming too, with the oncoming freight train that is voice search, I'm assuming that you're going to be pretty limited if you've got terrible reviews, or maybe not even just enough reviews. You're just never going to be able to play in the voice search game either.
Yeah, you know, that's one that I think will be really interesting to see over the next year, because historically, different voice search, whether it's Google directly, right, or if it's Siri, they're pulling from different places and different databases. I think we're going to see more of those voice-based search function more like Google is trying to today, where instead of saying, you know, hey Google or hey Siri, I need a house cleaner, and they give you, here's a list of five people who can clean houses in your area. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, you know, the best person is this company. Do you want me to connect you? Right. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to move out of this rattling off of lists, which is kind of historically how those search engines have worked, into the same space where they're actually trying to provide an answer, which is a huge advantage for the person who's being provided as the answer. And it's a missed opportunity for everyone else.
So how do we get that opportunity back if right now we have some pretty lousy reviews, or maybe just not enough reviews? I'm sure you talk to other marketing people in some other franchise systems who we won't name, who probably don't have some very good reviews right now. If they were to come to you and say, where do I start? What do I do? What would you tell them?
Yeah, well, you know, this has been something that's been a focus for us, honestly, for at least the last 3 years. Because I think when we look at reviews over time and kind of how this space has shifted in the last few years in franchising, at least for us, it started a lot from the perspective of, okay, this is something the franchisees need to do. Like, we need to get them to get reviews. And now it's morphed into just, you know, a process that involves many different mechanisms and means by which to get reviews. So we basically start from onboarding. So a new franchise comes on board. We have a training class that focuses on why reputation is so important. And really, one of the things that we try to set up foundationally at the beginning is, you know, what's your exit strategy for your business? If you're planning to sell this business, you need a strong reputation online, because the first thing any new buyer is going to do is go online and search you. And if we're talking about planning for the future now, and you want to leave this franchise and sell it to someone else at the best, you know, price point you can, you have to have a good reputation, because otherwise they're going to look and say, like, wow, look at all this cleanup I have to do in this market. This business isn't worth what you think it is.
Yeah.
So we really start by kind of treating it more like something that a business owner can think about from a numbers perspective. So we set the foundation in that way, and then go through, you know, what to do and what not to do using real life examples from our own system. So here's a response that was great. Here's a response that was not so great. And then let's talk about how we get reviews. So it's kind of multi-pronged, right? So it's, how do we get reviews to start? And as a new owner and as a new business, a lot of times, you know, they're doing work the first couple weeks, training teams for friends and family. You know, maybe our Mosquito Squad brand, you know, they're running work for friends out spraying yards to help the techs learn how to do it and how the process works. And, you know, the franchisee is giving those services away for free to their friends. Great. Ask them to leave you a review. Mm. We have leave behinds for those new guys for the first couple weeks to leave and home saying, like, we're a new business and lifeblood is reviews, and it would mean so much if you could go and leave a review. So there's some of that like manual piece to it, but we also work across the board with a technology partner who has automated review solicitation via text message built into our franchisee operating system. So when they're closing out jobs, the homeowner is getting a text that says, you know, hey, give us a happy face, sad face. If you're happy, great, tell us why. And it connects in for them to leave a review directly. Otherwise, it gives us good feedback for the owner to follow up on. So the automated piece of it is critical, because that's really how you get to critical mass, is to have something ongoing that's constantly executing day after day after day, so that, you know, reviews are fresh. Because, you know, reviews from 3 months ago, 4 months ago, they kind of get a little stale, right? If you look at a business and the last review was 9 months ago.
Right. My first thought is, oh, are they still in business or did they close down recently? So, and that's what I was going to ask you about, the automated review mechanism. I figured you had to have something like that in place, because, you know, just looking at the numbers, you've got 7 brands and, you know, well over 1,000 locations.
Yep.
How on earth do you get your arms around that many? It's one thing if you've got 2 locations, you can pretty much do it manually, but you've got to have quite a system in place, not just for yourself, but for each. I would assume you have some sort of brand manager or someone running operations for each brand that's involved too. Is this like a full-time thing for anybody on your team, or is that work kind of shared amongst many people?
Yeah, so it is shared amongst people, but we really lean on the technology piece of it to help us be as efficient as possible. So just like at the individual location level, you know, we have technology, we use a partner called PulseM that, you know, pushes out these requests on a daily basis. We also have a couple different checks and balances on the monitoring side to both share with us what's happening at an aggregated brand level that the brand managers on each brand pay attention to, but also we have alerts set up through our website partner to send the communication specialist on each of the brands specifically every day, gets a recap of every single review left on any brand location page from the day before. So they're really kind of another insurance policy, because anytime a negative review happens, those alerts are going directly to the franchisee. But we also want to be involved to try and help protect the brand at a national level. Mm-hmm. So if they see like a 1 or 2 star review, they're reaching out directly to the franchisee to see, you know, can we help you craft a response? Do you want to talk about what happened? Because negative reviews in a lot of ways, you know, at a location level, sometimes they know they're coming, sometimes they don't. A lot of times there's a very long, frustrating story behind it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of what we have to do in franchising is be a therapist in a lot of ways. Like, just get it out. You want to talk about it? Okay.
Yeah. No, was this a former employee? Oh, it's your neighbor. Okay. Got it. Yeah. But also there's maybe an opportunity there too, right? Of turning a bad story into a good story. I mean, I'm usually overly optimistic about things like that, but maybe there's an opportunity.
Oh, for sure there is. I think one of the strongest things about reviews is that simply the act of replying to them, even if they're bad, and framing up your response, not so much to address the person individually who wrote it, but to address everyone else who could read it.
Yeah.
Is highly valuable. So it happens to us sometimes in our house cleaning brand, in the cleaning authority, because sometimes there's a misconception about what services are provided. So someone might leave a review and say like, oh, you didn't do my laundry. Okay, well, we don't do laundry, right? It's not. So there was maybe a miscommunication off the bat, but that's a great opportunity for us to explain, you know, we're sorry that this, you know, that this was a disappointment, but, you know, that's not one of our normal service offerings. Here's, you know, what we do provide. We'd be more than happy to, you know, to continue to clean your house. This is who we are as a brand, right? So I think sometimes it's a good opportunity to clarify and maybe identify operationally if things in the process of onboarding new customers needs to be tightened up a little bit. But also, you know, I think people like seeing businesses whose owners reply to reviews.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's sort of the ultimate reputation for a brand or a small business owner, that there's someone who responds and someone who is strong enough to reply and see if they can fix something, as opposed to the reputation of someone that's just going to hide and never respond. Even if it's a terrible review, a good response actually makes you look like you're taking some sort of ownership.
Yeah. And I think thinking about it, like, you're never going to get a bad review, it's just not logical.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's going to happen. So I think best case, you know, is just to rationally reply. And that's, again, why our communications team likes to get involved, is because a lot of times it's easier for us to be an outsider looking in. You know, we don't have the emotion of being connected to it and whatever pain points might have been felt along the way, we can take a step back from. But, you know, I think people in general know that not everything goes right all the time. But seeing the fact that when things go wrong, people will step up and resolve it is really all you can really ask for, you know, as a consumer. And I think that brings people a lot of confidence. You know, if a business has a bad review or two, and here's the owner engaging and saying, you know, this is how we're going to make this right, and this is how we're going to change this process, then I think that that's a great show of faith that if something should go wrong, that they're not going to just, you know, put their head in the sand.
Yeah, excellent. I want to ask you about trends that you're seeing in digital marketing. Could be online reputation stuff, or maybe one of the other many things that you're involved in every day. What do you see happening maybe in the rest of 2020 or early 2021 that other marketers in franchising really need to be paying attention to right now?
Yeah, so I have two that I think are really exciting. These are two things that get me really excited. So one on the consumer side is more and more of a focus on e-commerce and the ability to do things without human interaction. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously been around for a long time, but in services, some of that has been a little slower to be adopted. And I think what we're going to see in a post-COVID world, I hate to say that because I feel like that's like the biggest catchphrase right now, but I think what we're going to see is people more and more wanting to try and return to things that are a little, you know, reminiscent of normal life, but they don't want to interact with people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the ability to book and schedule services online without having to speak to someone on the phone, without having to have someone come over and give you an estimate ahead of time. I think what we're going to see is more technology solutions helping make home services as automated as other services have been. I think we're going to see a dramatic catch up. And that's one of the things that's been on our radar too for our brands is, you know, doing things completely online. Can we price, quote, and schedule for some of our businesses without having to get people on the phone or without having to go out and see things in person? So that's been a huge focus for us.
And there feels like, it feels like there's something really sticky there too with consumers, because if I could book, let's say, someone to come over and spray my yard, if I could book that without actually having to deal with anybody, even when there's not a pandemic happening, next time I'm not going to want to learn a new system. I'm just going to want to repeat what I did last time.
Exactly. And imagine if you could just do it and set up your recurring service and never have to worry about it again, right? And that's what we've been working on both in Mosquito Squad. So, you know, we just did a test this year of people being able to book, pay, schedule, set everything up for their season online without having to pick up the phone. And I think that that's what we saw before, but I think it basically got some lighter fluid poured on it with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to put it. It just, everything got accelerated this year from the use of technology to not having intrusiveness come into your home for your service. It just is going to happen now. So that's an interesting one. What else are you seeing happening in the next several months?
So the other thing that I think is happening a little bit already, but I think will be very critical, especially in our space. And we've had a little bit of a shift, right? With, you know, we were ahead of COVID, we were in a tight labor market in a lot of ways, you know, people were struggling to get enough employees. And now, you know, that's swung a little bit because of all of the businesses, unfortunately, that just haven't been able to stay open through all of this and people looking for work. But I think we'll balance out when it's all said and done. But one of the things kind of internally at a franchisee level that I think will be really interesting to see play out as it relates to employee retention is the idea of gamification. And this is something I love personally because I find myself highly motivated by it. I am an Orange Theory participant, and anybody who does Orange Theory, they basically get you to move faster, run longer, et cetera, by strapping a heart rate monitor to you and broadcasting you and your, you know, color point score up on a big screen in the gym. And so I think what we're going to see is, you know, a desire, especially since we have such scarcity in the trades, to make it more fun and to make it stickier, basically, to stay with the company. And I think some of that, you know, we're trying right now with taking our review data and putting a big board up in the office that shows like, hey, here's the review score today for every technician, or here's the install department versus the maintenance department and how they're doing today. And look at everybody moving up and down the rankings and incentivizing bonuses based on that. You know, it's basically just data that we've had, and a lot of businesses have been generating reviews and trying to motivate technicians to do that for a long time. But I think making that visual and turning that into, you know, something that's up and in front of them in the office and in the shop on a daily basis kind of turns pieces of their job into more of a game. And I think makes it, you know, slightly more fun, slightly more enjoyable, especially when there's financial incentive tied to that.
I love that idea, and I love the Orange Theory example too. I've always thought Orange Theory is a giant video game system that happens to be attached to a fitness concept.
It's true, and
I think you looking at ways to do that with home service brands. I love that idea because I think we're now at the point where anybody, any technician, any franchisee has at least some level of comfort, understanding, and interest in jumping into this thing on their phone or their iPad or, you know, wherever this would live. And I think our usage is finally caught up with the technology that could be used for something like that. So that's really interesting. I will be watching that, and I'd love to come back in 6 months or so and see how things are going with gamification for you guys. And also, you know, maybe we can do another update on reputation online, because I'm hoping 6 months from now we'll be in a different era. and I'd love to kind of...
Oh my gosh, me too.
But, and for everybody out there, we're recording this in August of 2020. So if you're listening many years in the future, you know the answers. We don't. But Heather, I'd love to come back and kind of get your take on what's happened after we move into into the next era here, if that would be good with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I could talk about this kind of stuff all day long.
Thank you so much for being here today. I'm sure our listeners are going to have some additional questions, or maybe they want to throw a few things at you to get your take on it. Where can people reach you to ask a question or maybe just learn a little bit more about your brands?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can obviously catch me on LinkedIn or via email. So my last name is McLeod, like the Highlander, McLeod. And my email is Heather@authoritybrandsllc.com.
Excellent. We'll have links to all of those places in the show notes. Heather, thanks so much. We will talk to you soon down the road.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Another new feature we've started on this podcast is the Franchise Health and Safety Spotlight, brought to you by Northeast Color. Every week, we'll be looking at and sharing stories of franchise brands making a difference in health and safety. First up, we've got Footprints Floors. They specialize in installing hardwood floors, carpet, tile floors, and so forth. They're doing several things, including to respect customers' personal space and limit unnecessary human interaction. The brand and more than 50 franchise owners are pivoting to free virtual estimates on all new projects. I love that idea. Franchisees continue to maintain teams of 2 to 3 people and never more than 10. And Footprints Floors is taking additional precautions, including improved cleaning and sanitizing procedures. Here's another one, residential and commercial painting business 360 Painting. Teams are provided with gloves, N95 masks, and booties are to be worn at all times. The brand has implemented required and regular use of sanitizing wipes and pump jars on every job site. That's very cool. And all high-touch surfaces, equipment, and vehicles get thoroughly wiped down at the end of every day, as do, and get this, any extra cans of paint left over for the customer at the end of a job. I never would have thought of that. 360 Painting owners have also moved to creating estimates virtually. When possible, they also refer to images found on Zillow to help with pricing. If you have any stories about how your franchise system is keeping businesses and homes safe and healthy, let me know. We'll share them here thanks to our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs, and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals with signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. And thanks again for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.